Welcome to today's podcast from Heritage of Faith Gold Coast. For more information about us, visit heritageoffaith.com.au. We hope you'll be blessed by today's message.
Good morning, brothers and sisters in Christ. First up, thank you for your kind invitation. I take it as an invitation, the Lord himself, and you know, you kind of clear your diary pretty quickly when you have that kind of invite. I'd like to show you a bit of testimony about myself, and you can see part of Ruth and my journey, and that so I'd like to start it from the beginning, and Jeremiah 1:5. I knew you before I formed you in your mother's womb. Before you were born, I set you apart and appointed you as my prophet to the nations. Don't worry. So when I came out of the womb, 1959, Mum is Thai, who's very Buddhist, and Dad is agnostic. He believed there's a God, but he didn't quite get there as far as Jesus. Anyhow, I came over to Australia in 1971, and this is a short version. 71, Mossman Prep, and a Thai kid went there, and there was a boy there, and let's call him John because that's his name. So John and I became friends, but it was one thing that was you know, he was very kind-hearted about it, but there's one thing, he was keep talking to me about Jesus Christ, right? And on he would go that, and really I said to John, just to stop him, was that, mate, I'm a Buddhist, and it's pretty good to be a Buddhist, and I was angry, and I said, you know, your God will never have me. So no point talking about it because I don't want to not to be friends with you. So fast forward from there, we left Mossman Prep. I went to Scots. He went to Shore or Newington, sorry, and we didn't catch up for quite some time. And I went then after Scots, went to Uni New South Wales in the second or third year at Uni, 1980. Ruth and I got married. And and from there, so there was 15 years, went pretty quickly. I gave John a ring. Said, mate, like to catch up at Neutral Bay where you cook your own meat and there's a bit of barbecue and have a beer. And so we did. We went to lunch and pick our steak, sat across each other. And I said, mate, I've got something to tell you. And I said, Jesus Christ, my Saviour. You see? Yeah. And John had a smirk on his face. And I said, yeah, of course you're happy. So, but why such a big smirk? He said, well, Tom, I know I didn't talk to you about Christ anymore, but I prayed for you every day. And fast forward a bit more, only 6 or 8 weeks ago, Emily, my youngest daughter, got married, and Pastor John was officiated the wedding. So it's funny how, not funny, but the Lord got his own way, and you know, you can go away and do your own thing, and yet he sees all things, and it's to his glory that was through John's prayer that that came through. But on that, so fast forward again, 2011 mayoral election, 2012 I was mayor of the city of the Gold Coast, and all things are good because on the outside, to the I think God's got a good sense of humor because it got the enemy, the evil one, pretty easy going, meaning, oh yeah, he's picked somebody who's got a bit of an English accent, so he'll sound like he's not so bright, so it's good. And he's a businessman, you know, so he's self-centered, making the money, ticked the second good box for him. And the other box was that absolutely no political experience and no desire in my heart to enter politics. And for me, local government politics serving there, it's not truly a politics, so I won't be going, well, with God's blessing, I don't want to go into the real politics of state or federal. But it's his will, not mine. So with that, the first term and all that was fairly smooth, you see. And I went in and I prayed to the Lord first. Like, I thought, oh, well, I might as well do what Solomon did. Lord, please give me as much wisdom as you can give me so that I can serve the city. And the second was that I prayed, Lord, that you would awaken the city of the Gold Coast spiritually, and that you protect our city, and that you awaken it so that all the Christians would get closer together and know and multiply, and spiritually we would grow. So I guess doing that, and I've met up with a lot of pastors, and I share that thoughts, and prayer vigil went on about awakening our city. We had Easter United, some of you know, where quite a lot of churches get together, celebrate our salvation, and other things. Pastors are getting to know each other, and in the spiritual world, it's coming pretty good. So this is my belief, is that, well, hang on, the guy that ticks all those bad boxes coming through, and he is serving the Lord. So I feel that the evil one thought better take some action. And 2017, around June there, Ruth and I were travelling to Middle East and onto the UK, actually, but we stopped in Singapore. And as we were just about to board the plane and for our next leg, Ruth stumbled, and I thought, you know, the heels or something, and I grabbed her and lowered to the ground, and she was grasping for air. And before I know it, she wasn't grasping anymore. So almost like somebody's drowning. And I went, oh, hang on. So I thought I'm gonna. I put her in the safety position, then touch her pulse, and there's no pulse. So laid across and start doing the cardiac arrest, and off you go. And when you're doing that for real, because you're doing it very hard, and it's not 10, it's 30 or 60, because you've got to keep the blood going to the brain, because after 6 minutes, the brain starts to die, and there's no recovery on that. So I did the CPR course because Commonwealth Games 2018, where I was going to be in a royal box and VIP and that as host city of the Commonwealth Games, I thought, I'll do that because if somebody does have a heart attack in a VIP, at least I can jump into it. By the time the paramedics gets there, at least I can start it working. But not in my life did I thought I would be doing it for the biggest VIP in my life, right? So as I'm tired and I'm asking people, they're trying to get on board on the next flight, some people would stop and take over and just to give me a break. And then I'd jump back on, and then some of those people would leave because they don't want to miss their flight. Anyhow, we got the defibrillator there, and it went on, I mean, 3 or 4 defibs, nothing. And I can tell the other person doing with me, that by that time staff are helping, and that I can see it in their eyes that, you know, it's about time to pack up. Well, 3 more, on the 7th one, we got Ruth pulse going again. And then, yeah. So we got on the trolley there on the top of the movie. I'm pushing her. The paramedic are pushing her. I'm running behind with a couple of bags, going through custom. Of course, they're yelling at you, where's your passport? I said, get lost. You know, keep going, jump in the ambulance, and got to the Changi Hospital. And I tell you, you know, they revive her again. So by 3 a.m. in the morning, so it'd been quite a few hours, all the tests, right through. I'm sitting there in the dark, and several doctors came on different tests. And now she'll be all right because there's no collateral or whatever it is in the veins and arteries. But the last one, he came, and he's the brain scan specialist. In the interim, I start praying, of course, and I think I rang Pastor Sue and I said, can you pray as well, please? Yeah. So the information that was given to me improved that all the grey areas where it's brain damage. And so the words of the doctor said that, not sure if we can get her back out of the coma. But secondly, if we do get her back out, it's not the same person because the extent of the brain damage, we don't know how much the extent, but have a look, it's going to be quite a bit. And I said, I don't care about the extent, do all you got to do, I want Ruth back. So that's scientific stuff that really hounded on to me. So for the next couple of days, I'm praying to the Lord in the hotel room. And at times like that, you do feel his presence. And so I'm kneeling down and I said, Lord, in the scripture, I wrote it down here, in the scripture, if Jesus said that if you prayed for that mountain to run off and jump in the ocean, it will be done. And I'm thinking, well, my ask here is a lot easier. Bring Ruth back from her coma. I forgot to mention that we worked on her for 24 minutes. Brain starts to die at 6, so you got to get the blood to keep going. So one of the prayer bit there when I went, well, Lord, if I ask, if I believe, you will deliver. But you see, the asking is not bad because you know what to ask for. I want her back. The believing, because it was an extensive scientific explanation to me that she's almost gone, or brain part, is that to get yourself, and the Lord knows your heart, you can't pretend belief. You can't go, oh yeah, I believe it, but you don't really. So I said, well, Lord, I believe it with my whole heart that it's over to you, that you can fix this. So it's over. So when I passed that on, felt like the whole weight was lifted. Yeah, I put my whole faith in that, and then that night I slept. Woke up really late anyway, but it went very quickly. And to fast forward it anyway, Ruth was in the coma for 3 days. So they were praying at home, and she came out. Got all the tubes in her mouth, so she was, when she's first opened her eyes, I'm looking down going, hun, it's me. And then she's pulled her head back going, who the hell are you, sort of look. I'm thinking, not 100% there. So it was quite, quite, you know, I'm quite upsetting. And I went, just need a break. So I went down and had chicken rice soup, as you do when you're upset. Came back up, because at the time, came back up and I said, and then she smiled and I went, okay, that's not bad. And then she had her leg up a bit and started scratching it. I'm going, oh, you're itchy. Okay, I'll put your hand down and I'll scratch for you. And then I thought it was enough, you know, scratch for a while. And she brought it back and started scratching again. I'm going, and she's doing it. So I thought, oh, she wants to write something. got the notebook, got the pen, shove it in there. And she wrote, you know, and I'm trying to read it. Wrote a couple of times. And it's and she wrote something like Yanker or Yankee. I thought, you weren't a Yankee fan, I'm pretty sure. And so I'm going, not sure what it was. So I went and showed the nurse. And I said, look, she's writing something, can't really tell. She looked at it, she went, oh. So she rushed in the room, got this thing called a suctioned Yanker, I think, because Ruth is a physiotherapist. It's a technical term for an equipment to suck out the saliva out of the throat. She was drowning in saliva. So they took it out and did the suction Yanker on her herself, or they did. And the thing is, here I am, I think, well, Lord, she must have got a lot back, because to know Yanker is pretty specialised. Because I rang Ruth's mum, Margaret, and said, oh, she's up and about. First road she was Yanker, and they've got the Yanker suction. And Ruth's mum already knows, she's a nurse, so she knew already. So to this day, we flew home with the doctor and everything like that. Has the Lord honour everything? Well, I say to her, not quite, because all the cooking and cleaning I did for all the times we were married, you can't remember a bit of it. And I went, but that's all right. That's, if that's the only thing you can't remember, I'm sweet with it, Lord. You couldn't put that extra in, but anyway. But there's more. And the thing is, very shortly after that, I said, and she was fit looking, right? And the enemy can take her out just like that. And so I thought, I'll do. And it just happened that there was a Pindara was doing a total body checkup. So I thought, well, I'll do that and use the media so that people would do a total health check. So I went in and on TV saying, right, you know, if you haven't had a total health check, you should do it. Health is everything. And off I go. And I did. It was a total one. You know, you can do scan, the whole works. But they kept the best to last, the colonoscopy. So I did the preparation and everything. But for whatever it is, I wake up that morning and I said, look, I've done everything. Don't really need that last bit. And normally Ruth is pretty easygoing and doesn't, you know, it's okay with, you know, some whims I might have. And she was quite, she just looked at me and she said, I'd be so disappointed if you didn't, because you said on TV that you're going to do it total. It's not total if you didn't do this colonoscopy. I went, gee, okay, you got me there. And it's just the ways of men, you know, the wives say, they don't say, go and do it. He just said, you will disappoint me. So I said, all right, then I'll take one. So I went to the hospital, caught up with Mark. His real name's Mark. So I said, Mark, while I'm in there, and I said, this is on the table. I said, look, can you do the endo as well, go down the throat? And I said, you know, only one condition, you do that first and change the strobe. And he's laughing and he's going, all right, we'll sign here. So I did. So we did that. I wake up, you know, it's like that, you know, count backwards and then you clonked out, wake up, and they found something in the bowel section. Fast forward two operations later and... They found some cancer in the polyps. and then they had to cut a bit more, and then there was no more cancer. So the interesting thing is I was part of the team of help saving her life 3 months earlier, and she, the way she asked me to go to do the final test, she saved my life. Now, what I took out of that is that I have absolutely no doubt that the evil one just looked at it and went, nah, we'll take Ruth out because he will be destroyed mentally. And he's right, I will be destroyed. Couldn't do that. Well, I'll just take him out. And through prayers again, I'm healed and 100%, and I'm good at that. So what my message to everyone is this. First up, the power of prayer is believe and you will receive in God's time. Now, the second one I reflect on, the Good Samaritan, right? That before that, when Christ was asked, what is the main thing that what's the most important commandment? Love your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your strength. Second is like it. Love neighbor as yourself. So, and then he went on about the Good Samaritan, that Levites crossed the road, went the other way, and the Samaritan went and helped the Good Samaritan. And I reflect on that there were several Good Samaritan that stopped and pumped Ruth's heart and left their embarkation. And I'm not sure they got on the flight, but they did that. Those Good Samaritan helped me save Ruth, which support me to serve the city. So who is your neighbour? Your neighbour, when you're walking through, you don't have to be a Samaritan. You just got to be good. And in Christ's name and in God's glory. So blessing to all of you for allowing me to share a couple of things. I'd say it'd be a short version, but gee, it's hard when you're a politician. Thank you.
Thanks for listening to today's podcast from Heritage of Faith Gold Coast. For more information, or if you have any questions, please go to our website, heritageoffaith.com.au. Have a blessed week.